The Friend Magazine for July 2015. Contents. Friends by Mail, including How We Use the Friend by Talon, Jace, and Riley N. Finding Comfort by Emma G. How I Read the Friend by Emma T. And Dear Friends. From the First Presidency, A Testimony of the Church by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf. Rowdy to Reverend by Catherine Nelson. Family Fun Time, Sunday Activities. Bright Idea Poster. Bugs and Brothers by Cynthia L. Pearson. Fun Stuff, Hidden Picture. Heavenly Father Answers My Prayers by George R. I Talk to God as a Friend by Elder Juan A. Uceda. Fun Stuff, Pioneers Around the World. Bulletin Board. Anna's Journey Part 1, Leaving Home by Jessica Larson. Family History Mystery, Your Baptism. I'm Going There Someday by Mary N. What Will It Be Like When I Go Inside the Temple by Elder Neil L. Anderson. The Temple is a Holy Place by Elder Neil L. Anderson. What Do We Do in the Temple by Carolyn Colton. Temple Time by Jane McBride Choate. When I Grow Up, I Want to Be a Stained Glass Artist by Amy Jane Levitt. Fun Stuff, Find That Temple. Craft, Stained Glass Picture by Sherry Timberman. Matt and Mandy, Show and Tell. The Temple Grounds by Amanda Hill. Coloring Page, Finding Tinkerbell by April Clausen. The Parable of the Talents by Jean Bingham. The Eighth Article of Faith, Music, Come Follow Me by John Nicholson and Samuel McBurney. Not at Home, Not Anywhere by David Dixon. Babysitting Blues by Lindsay Stevens Tanner. P.S. New Testament Scripture Figures, Jesus Walks on Water. And Dear Parents and Teachers. End of Contents.
Friends by Mail. How We Use the Friend. Our family likes the stories and the hidden picture games in The Friend. Talon is getting baptized and loves to read The Friend to get ready for this important day. Jace and Riley are also excited to be baptized someday. Talon, Jace, and Riley N., ages 8, 6, and 3, Nevada, USA.
How I Read the Friend. I love to read The Friend with my stuffed animals before bedtime. Emma T., age 10, New Jersey, USA.
Finding Comfort. Thank you for the story, Elizabeth is Happy All the Time. April 2014. My grandpa recently passed away because of cancer, and the story really helped me cope with the sad feelings due to his death. Like Elizabeth in the story, I still cry a lot, but I know my grandpa loves me very, very much, and that death is not the end. Soon I will see him again in the presence of Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. I showed this story to my family, and they all agreed that it was exceptional. I try and help my Nana when she is sad, and sometimes we just sit and cry with our arms around each other. It makes me feel better to know that I comfort her by just being me and making her laugh. I love my grandpa, and I will see him again. Thank you for a story that touched hearts. Emma G., age 10, Florida, USA.
Dear friends, do you love to see the temple? Then turn to page 21 to find a special section all about it. You'll see what a temple looks like on the inside. And you'll find out about what you'll learn when you go inside someday. Love, The Friend. P.S. Please write to tell us about your experiences with the temple. Note, was there a letter or a story in this month's issue that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 48 to find out how. End of the section, Friends by Mail.
From the First Presidency, A Testimony of the Church, by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. Heavenly Father cares about you. He will listen to and answer your personal questions. He has promised that we can know that the Church is true. He has given this pattern. First, search the Word of God. Read the Scriptures. Study the words from modern prophets about the Gospel. Pay attention to how you feel. Second, try to believe. Be grateful that Heavenly Father has given us prophets to help us find our way back to Him. Third, ask Heavenly Father to reveal or show the truth of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to you. Ask with a sincere heart and with real intent, also meaning desire and determination, having faith in Jesus Christ. Fourth, if you want to know the truth of the gospel, you must first live it. Choose the right and live the way Jesus taught. Do it with honesty and faith. If you do these things, Heavenly Father will reveal the truth to you by the power of the Holy Ghost. Your personal testimony of the gospel in the church is the most important thing you can earn in this life. It will bless and guide you your whole life. Adapted from Receiving a Testimony of Light and Truth, Ensign, November 2014, pages 20 through 23. Testimony Basics. One of the best ways to help your testimony grow is by sharing it with others. Not sure what to say? Here are a few basic parts of a testimony to get you started. Cut out the pictures and the list and glue them on heavy paper. As you say each of these five parts of a testimony, look at the matching picture. You can take these pictures in your school backpack or your scripture bag to help you remember to share your testimony. Pictures. The first vision. Jesus Christ. The prophet Joseph Smith. A temple. President Thomas S. Monson. 1. God is our Heavenly Father and He loves us. 2. His Son, Jesus Christ, is our Savior and Redeemer. 3. Joseph Smith is a prophet of God. He restored the gospel of Jesus Christ to the earth and translated the Book of Mormon by the power of God. 4. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is Heavenly Father's church on the earth today. 5. This church is led by a living prophet who receives revelation. A growing testimony. Many scriptures compare gaining a testimony to growing a plant. Both require time and effort. With the following picture, fill in a color for each step President Uchtdorf gives for growing a testimony. End of the article. From the First Presidency, A Testimony of the Church by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. Read by David Shaw.
Rowdy to Reverent by Catherine Nelson, based on a true story. Do as I'm doing. Follow, follow me. Children's Songbook, page 276. Larry loved to jump and run races and ride his bike and climb trees. So when it came time for primary, he had a hard time sitting still. Every time he sat down in his chair, he felt like standing right back up. He tapped his toes on the floor. He squirmed in his seat. He tugged on his lip. Sister Valencia showed their class a picture of Jesus and told them some of the special names for him.
We call him our exemplar. It's a big word, but it means someone who's a good example. What are some good ways Jesus was a good example?
He was nice to people who were mean to him,
Chloe said.
He chose the right,
Felipe said.
He was a good friend,
Chad said.
You're all right. Jesus loved his enemies. He always stood up for what's right, and he was a wonderful friend. So if we want to be like Jesus,
we should be a good friend,
Larry said. Sister Valencia nodded.
Exactly. Jesus was a good example to everyone because he was a friend to everyone. He wants us to be friends to everyone, too.
At the end of the lesson, the class lined up at the door to walk into sharing time. When they got into the primary room, another boy was already in the seat where Larry usually sat. Larry knew the boy's name was Brennan and that he had something called autism. Larry wasn't sure what that meant, but he knew Brennan had a hard time sitting still and shouted things out when they were supposed to be reverent and sometimes cried loudly. Brennan's mom usually came in to sit with him. Larry didn't know Brennan well yet. Larry slumped down in the chair next to Brennan, feeling a little grumpy that he had to sit in a different seat. Then, when sharing time started, Larry felt his wiggles coming on. He kicked the chair in front of him. Clack! Then he heard another loud clack. Brennan had kicked the chair in front of him, too. Brennan's mom softly asked Brennan to be quiet. Larry bounced up and down on his chair. Brennan bounced, too. Larry looked at Brennan and sighed loudly. Brennan sighed louder. Why was Brennan copying everything he was doing? Larry made a mean face at Brennan and leaned away. Brennan copied him, twisting his mouth into an ugly frown. Larry looked at him in surprise. Is that what Larry's face looked like? He didn't like seeing such a mean face glaring at him like that. He didn't like it at all. Suddenly, Larry remembered what Sister Valencia had said about Jesus being an example and a friend. Jesus wouldn't make a mean face at Brennan, Larry thought. Jesus would help Brennan. Larry decided to give it a try. He stopped kicking the chair, and Brennan stopped kicking too. He folded his arms, and Brennan folded his arms too. He turned his head and faced the teacher, and out of the corner of his eye, he saw Brennan face the front too. Larry grinned. During singing time, Larry sang with his best voice and heard Brennan singing loud too. Brennan's mom smiled at Larry with a smile that lit up her whole face. Larry felt warm inside. He could be like Jesus, an example and a friend. The author lives in Utah, USA. End of the story, Rowdy to Reverent by Katherine Nelson. Narrated by Shauna Thompson.
Family Fun Time. Read Rowdy to Reverent, page 4. Being reverent means being respectful of sacred things. We should make Sunday a special day when we reverently focus on Jesus and Heavenly Father. What are things your family can do to focus on Jesus and Heavenly Father on Sunday? Be sure to get an adult's help with this activity and recipe. Peanut butter pudding. 1/2 cup whipping cream. 1 tablespoon sugar. 1/4 cup creamy peanut butter. 1 3.4 ounce or 96 grams package instant chocolate pudding. Chopped peanuts or mini chocolate chips, optional. Number 1. Beat the whipping cream and sugar with a hand mixer until it forms stiff peaks. Number 2. In a separate bowl, mix the peanut butter until it's smooth. Mix in the whipped topping. Number 3. Make the chocolate pudding according to the package instructions. Number 4. Scoop the pudding into bowls and top with the peanut butter mix. Sprinkle with nuts or chocolate chips. Sunday box. Make an activity box full of good things to do on Sunday. Decorate a box or bag and fill it with good activities and projects. What can you put in your box? Here are some ideas. Scripture stories, copies of the friend, puzzles, pictures from the gospel art collection, family photos, scripture figures, see the inside back cover of this issue, art supplies, journals to write in, CDs of primary songs, cards and pens to write letters. Tip: put idea cards in your box for things your family can do on Sunday. Go on a walk, visit a neighbor, call family, make cookies for missionaries, index at familysearch.org, etc.
Bright Idea Poster. In this month's Bright Idea Poster, a young boy and a young girl are taking a test in a school classroom. The young girl is confident and smiles as she works, while the young boy cautiously peeks at her paper to copy her work. The caption reads, "I believe in being honest, in being true." Children's Songbook, page 149. End of this month's Bright Idea Poster. Read by Amelie Strunken.
Remembering Elder L. Tom Perry, 1922 through 2015. Elder L. Tom Perry of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles passed away on May 30, 2015, after spending his whole life being a good example to others. He was 92 years old. Elder Perry was born on August 5th, 1922 in Logan, Utah. His parents taught their six children to work hard and serve others. Young Tom helped by taking food to families in need and cleaning homes for people who needed help. He was also a good example to his friends. When they played ball, they didn't need an umpire because Tom was such a good peacemaker. Tom served a mission in the northern United States. Soon after that, he joined the United States Marine Corps during World War II. One of his missionary companions also joined the Marines. Together, they taught other Marines the gospel. Some even joined the church. After the war, Tom became a successful businessman, and he and his wife, Virginia, raised three children and moved around the United States as Tom worked for different companies. Elder Perry was called as a member of the Quorum of the Twelve on April 6, 1974. A few months later, Sister Perry passed away. Elder Perry turned to the Lord for strength and comfort. Later, he married Barbara Dayton. Elder Perry believed in being a good example. He said, "As you are engaged in doing good, being honorable and upright men and women, the light of Christ will be reflected by your lives. Each of us can be a good example to others, just like Elder Perry has been a good example to us." End of the article. Remembering Elder L. Tom Perry. Read by David Shaw.
Bugs and Brothers by Cynthia L. Pearson. Based on a true story. Ye are free. Ye are permitted to act for yourselves. Helaman, chapter 14, verse 30. Lacey was busy making things for her miniature dollhouse. She'd already made button plates, a yogurt lid table, and a popcorn bowl out of a bottle cap and styrofoam. She was just starting on the paperclip hangers when her little brother, Zach, burst through the door with a bath towel around his neck like a cape.
"Zach!"
Lacey cried as he bumped into her desk, sending the button plates flying.
"I'm not Zach. I'm Awesome Boy!"
Zach shouted. He stomped around her room and knocked into the walls, pretending to fly.
"And you're a giant mutant monster that's attacking this city!" "I am not a mutant monster,"
Lacey shouted back. As she looked at the buttons scattered all over the floor, she felt a hot, angry feeling rising in her stomach. She felt like yelling. Instead, she stomped out of the room.
"Mom, Zach's bugging me again."
Mom was on the phone in the kitchen and held up her hand. "One minute," she mouthed. Mom walked into the other room to finish her phone call. Lacey sighed and flopped into a kitchen chair.
"Why is Zach so annoying?"
Lacey fumed. She was 10 and Zach was only 7. He thought it was funny to see her mad. Worse, it seemed like Zach looked for ways to bother her. He grabbed her dolls, copied everything she said in a silly voice, and searched through her drawers. Each thing made her madder and madder. She didn't like feeling that way. Lacey looked down at the paperclip hanger she was still holding. Kylie, Lacey's older sister, had showed her how to make miniature things. Kylie was away at college now, and Lacey missed her. Why couldn't Kylie still be around instead of Zach? Lacey thought back to a time just before Kylie had left for school. They were having fun on the front porch, eating ice cream and talking. But Lacey couldn't stop scratching a mosquito bite on her arm. It itched so much.
"Don't scratch it," Kylie warned. "The more you scratch it, the worse it gets."
"But I have to scratch it,"
Lacey complained.
"It itches too much. It's driving me crazy."
"You don't have to scratch it,"
Kylie said. She licked her ice cream cone and smiled.
"You may not be able to control whether or not you have a mosquito bite, but you can control how much you scratch it."
Lacey looked down at her arm where the mosquito bite had been, and suddenly she understood something. She could control her own actions. She couldn't stop Zach from doing what he wanted, but she could choose not to be bothered by it anymore, and Heavenly Father could help her.
Heavenly Father,
she prayed silently,
please help me not to get mad when Zach teases me. Please help me to just love him.
As she prayed, she felt the hot anger in her stomach start to go away. A warm feeling filled its place. Never mind, she mouthed to Mom as she walked back to find Zach. Maybe her miniature dollhouse would make the perfect city to defend from a giant mutant monster. And maybe Awesome Boy could use a superhero friend, Awesome Girl. The author lives in Utah, USA. Can you find another story about getting along with siblings? End of the story. Bugs and Brothers by Cynthia L. Pearson. Read by Kristen Hawkins.
A true story written by you. Heavenly Father Answers My Prayers. By George R., age 9, New Mexico, USA. There has been many times that Heavenly Father has heard and answered my prayers. My first memory of this happening was when I was 4. I had lost the blocks I wanted to play with, so I went to my room and knelt down to pray. I asked Heavenly Father to help me find my toys. My prayer was immediately answered. I found the blocks in the next room. One of the most important times I had a prayer answered was with my whole family. A few months after my cousin Christian finished his mission, he was driving late at night on a mountain canyon road. He and another car crashed into each other. The other driver was fine, but my cousin was taken to the hospital by helicopter. Christian had serious injuries all over his whole body. He went into a coma, and the doctors didn't think he would wake up. Our family decided to fast and pray. My parents, sisters, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and all my cousins took turns fasting for Christian. I fasted on a school day. I had to explain to my teacher and classmates why I wasn't eating lunch that day. I really didn't mind going without food for a day because I was fasting for my cousin. Heavenly Father answered our prayers, and Christian eventually woke up from his coma. He still doesn't have his full abilities back, but he has made some progress. I know Christian has a long recovery ahead of him. We still pray for him. Anything is possible with Heavenly Father's help. Question for you. What things do you need help with? Remember to talk with Heavenly Father about them. End of the story, Heavenly Father Answers My Prayers. Read by Ethan Nelson.
Food Drive Fun.
Hi, I'm Michaela. Each summer, my state collects food for a food bank. I was sad to learn that some kids don't get dinner every night. I know how grumpy I feel when I'm hungry, so I wanted to help collect for the food drive.
Spreading the word.
A food bank gives food to people who don't have much money. I wanted lots of people to help donate. A few weeks before the food drive, I brought flyers to my school teacher. She passed out more flyers to other teachers.
Running for a reason.
I decided to run the 1 mile race that was held as part of the food drive. I practiced in my neighborhood so my body would be ready to run a whole mile.
Gathering donations.
Some races you have to pay money to enter. For this race, runners were asked to donate food instead of money. My parents and friends gave me food to donate.
Ready, set, serve.
It was a hot morning, but I finished the race. I ran the whole time without stopping. I even got a medal for finishing.
Sorting the food.
After the race, my family and I went to the parking lot of a local grocery store to sort the donations that went to the food bank.
How you can help. Instead of birthday gifts, you could ask for donations for your local food bank. Visit your local food bank. Ask what items they need the most. Plant a garden. Some food banks accept fresh fruit and vegetable donations. Your family's fast offering helps provide food for families in need. Michaela's tip.
I try to invite friends to church service activities, whether they're members or not. We have fun.
Give us a hand. How do you follow Jesus by helping others? Trace your hand and send us your story and photo, along with your parents' permission. Find out how on page 48. End of Food Bank Fun.
I Talk to God as a Friend by Elder Juan A. Uceda of the 70. Pray, He is there. Speak, He is listening. Children's Songbook, page 12. When I was young, I was very shy, and it was hard for me to make friends. I prayed a lot to God about overcoming my fears and my shyness. I prayed to Him as a friend. Nobody taught me how to do it. I just really needed to talk to someone. I didn't have friends, so I found one by talking to Him. Then I met the missionaries. They gave me a Book of Mormon, and I started to read it. When I read 3 Nephi chapter 17, I was truly impressed by the way Jesus took the little children and prayed for them. I knew that this was the right way to pray. I decided to read all the scriptures about Jesus Christ praying. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, after John baptized him, Jesus prayed to Heavenly Father, and the heavens were opened. When I read that, I knew that I also wanted to pray in a way that would open the heavens. Sometimes I feel tired and don't feel like praying, but then I remember how Jesus prayed. I try to be honest and sincere in my prayer so that the heavens will be open for me too. Sometimes my prayers are short because I can't find the words to express myself well. I just have a bunch of feelings inside and I say, Thou knowest what I'm trying to say. Please just help me. Sometimes when I pray to ask a blessing on the food, I remember that even in that small prayer, the heavens can be opened. I try to forget about the world and connect with Heavenly Father. And in a very humble way, I say things that come from my heart. When I feel peace and comfort, I know that the heavens are open to me. After the missionaries taught my family about the gospel, my mother, sister, and I were baptized. But my father, my brother, and my other sister didn't join the church. I really wanted my father to be a member of the church. I fasted, and every day I prayed for my father to accept the gospel and be baptized. I knew that I needed to pray for my father, but I also knew I needed to wait for God's answer. Sometimes He says, No, not yet. Eventually, my father did listen and understand, and he was baptized. If your mother or father isn't a member of the church yet, talk to your friend, your Father in heaven. Ask for him to touch your mother or father's heart. Talk to him humbly and honestly, in a sincere way, but then relax. He is in command. He knows how to do things. He knows your father and mother better than you do. He knows how to reach them. Don't worry. You have a friend. Pray with your heart, and Heavenly Father will listen to you. The heavens will be opened. He knows you, and He will bless you. End of the article, I Talk to God as a Friend, by Elder Juan A. Uceda of the 70. Read by David Shaw.
Bulletin Board. Snack kebabs. Thread a skewer with your choice of cherry tomatoes and cubes of cheese, ham, and turkey. Give us a hand.
I help my mom clean the house. Sarah S., age 6, Pennsylvania, USA.
So far, you've sent us 8,575 handprints. Go to page 48 to find out how to send us your helping hands. Pioneer Fun. Pioneer children used to play with cup and ball toys. Try making your own. Be sure to get an adult's help. 1. Cut a piece of string that is as long as your arm. 2. Wrap one end of the string around a paper or plastic cup and tape it down. 3. Tape the other end of the string in the middle of a piece of paper. 4. Crumple the paper into a tight ball around the end of the string. 5. Now you're ready to play. Hold the cup and try to swing the paper ball up so you can catch it in the cup. Stand tall. I will keep my mind and body sacred and pure, and I will not partake of things that are harmful to me. My Gospel Standards. How will you keep your mind and body sacred and pure? End of Bulleted Board. Read by Kristen Hawkins. Anna's Journey, Part 1. Leaving Home. By Jessica Larson. Based on a true story. This story took place in May 1889. Anna Matilda Anderson huddled with her mother and sister Ida under the black umbrella. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw the train approach. She shivered. This train would take her from Sweden and begin her journey to America.
"Be good and listen to Elder Carlson,"
Anna's mother whispered in Swedish. She held the girls close. Elder Carlson was a missionary who had been serving in Sweden for 3 years since Anna was 8. Now it was time for him to return to his family in Idaho, in the United States. When Mama had decided to send Anna and Ida to America to escape the persecution in Sweden, Elder Carlson had offered to watch over them. Now he stood by the train. He motioned for the two girls to join him. Ida hugged her mother tightly and moved forward, but Anna stayed behind.
"I love you,"
Anna said.
"I'll miss you."
"I'll miss you too. Now listen closely. If you come to a place where you can't understand what the people are saying, don't forget to pray to your Father in heaven, because He can understand you."
Still thinking of her mother's words, Anna got on the train with Ida and Elder Carlson. She had been excited about her first ride on a train, but now she only wanted one last glimpse of Mama. The train was too tall for her to see people's faces, but she smiled when she saw her mother's black umbrella held high above the crowd. It reminded her that Mama was watching. With a great bellow of smoke, the train lurched forward. At first, it moved so slowly that Mama ran beside the train. The black umbrella waved at Anna. But soon, the black umbrella disappeared from view. Anna leaned against the window pane. She knew it would be a long time before she saw Mama again. There had not been enough money for Mama to buy a ticket. A family in Ogden, Utah, had paid for Ida's passage to America. Ida would stay with them on their farm and work to repay them. But Anna would stay with her aunt in Salt Lake City. Anna's aunt had gone to Utah several years earlier, and Mama had written to tell her that Anna was making the long journey too. After that first train trip, they took a boat over the North Sea to Denmark. Then they sailed to England and Ireland before crossing the Atlantic Ocean and landing in New York. Anna was seasick for most of the 15-day journey. She was so relieved when they finally stepped off the boat.
"America looks different than Sweden, yeah?"
she said to Ida as they boarded the train in New York that would take them to Utah.
"Yeah,"
Ida whispered back in Swedish.
"But America is home now, and if we work hard enough, soon we can bring Mama here too."
At last, they were on the final stretch of their journey. Anna would have been excited for it to end if it didn't mean losing Ida. There weren't enough days left. Finally, Anna heard the conductor call, "Ogden, Utah." She knew no English, but Anna recognized that name. Her heart sank. It sank even further when Elder Carlson stood and picked up his and Ida's bags.
"Do you have to go?"
she asked her sister.
"Yes,"
Ida said gently.
"Don't worry. Auntie will be there when you go to Salt Lake City."
Anna watched from the train as Ida and Elder Carlson met his family at the station. They would take Ida to her new home on the farm and then travel on to Idaho. Now Anna felt truly alone. To be continued. Where do your ancestors come from? Do you know any of their names? Search for them on FamilySearch.org. End of the story. Anna's Journey, Part 1. Leaving Home. By Jessica Larson. Read by Kristen Hawkins.
Family History Mystery. Special Detective Profile, Your Baptism. Dear Detective, last month you discovered evidence about the first person baptized in your family. Someday, someone will want to find out about your baptism too. Write down the story of your baptism. If you haven't been baptized yet, write about why you're excited to get baptized. Add your story to your file. My Baptism Day. When I was baptized. Where I was baptized. Who baptized me? What I wore. Who came to my baptism? How I felt when I was baptized. How I felt when I received the Holy Ghost. Print more tags for your sleuth kit at friend.les.org. End of the article, Family History Mystery, read by Eden Reinwand. A True Story, written by you. I'm Going There Someday. By Mary N., age 12, Maryland, USA. When I was almost 12, I was so excited to go to the temple. My family and I talked about what it was going to be like inside, and I looked at pictures of the inside of temples as well. A few weeks before I went to do temple baptisms, my family had a special family home evening. We listened to great stories about some of our ancestors and learned about where they lived and what their lives were like. I even found out that my great-great-grandpa was struck by lightning and survived. Some of my ancestors were from England, so my little brothers and I colored pictures of the English flag. I felt like I made a little connection with my ancestors. The temple was as beautiful inside as it was outside. Everyone there was so nice, and there was a warm and peaceful spirit there. It was different than anything I had felt before. Everything was exactly perfect. My aunt brought names of some family members who hadn't been baptized yet. As we were waiting, my mom and aunt and I imagined what these women were like when they lived on Earth 300 years ago. It was special to have my dad baptize me for them. Seeing everyone in white made me feel like I was surrounded by angels. The temple is like heaven on earth. 5 tips for your first temple visit. Talk to a parent or teachers about what to expect. Look at pictures of the rooms inside the temple. Make an appointment with your bishop to get your recommend. He'll talk with you about your testimony and about keeping the commandments. Find out about your own ancestors. If possible, find an ancestor you could be baptized for. Visit FamilySearch.org to learn more. Pray for the Holy Ghost to be with you. Then enjoy your first visit to the temple. End of the story, I'm Going There Someday. Read by Eden Reinwand.
Special Witness. What will it be like when I go inside the temple? By Elder Neil L. Anderson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. The members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles are special witnesses of Jesus Christ. You will learn about the creation of the world. You will learn about our Savior, Jesus Christ. The peace of the Savior will calm your worries and fears. You will have a feeling of holiness. It will help you stand strong when life is hard. From Spiritual Whirlwinds, Ensign, May 2014, pages 18 through 21.
A story from Elder Anderson's life. The temple is a holy place. When Elder Neil L. Anderson was young, he learned how important it is to be in holy places. When he was 3 years old, his family had to drive 90 miles or 145 kilometers every Sunday to get to church. His parents taught him that going to church is important. They helped him learn to choose the right. This helped him prepare to go to another holy place, the temple. When Neil was older, he wanted to serve a mission, but he was a little worried. How can I serve a mission when I know so little? He prayed. He felt the answer in his heart. You don't know everything, but you know enough. That answer gave Neil courage. He obeyed and served a mission in France. Before he left, he went to the temple. There he made special promises called covenants with Heavenly Father. He was blessed for going to the temple. After his mission, he met a girl named Kathy. Kathy chose the right. She loved Heavenly Father. Neil and Kathy decided to get married. Neil and Kathy were married and made covenants together in the Salt Lake Temple. Later, they had 4 children. Their family is blessed because of their temple covenants. They can be together forever. 5 facts about Elder Anderson. Born on August 9, 1951. The L in his name stands for Lyndon. When he was a teenager, there were only 13 temples in the world. Served a mission in France, and later served as president of the France Bordeaux mission. Became an apostle in April 2009. End of the article. Special Witness. What will it be like when I go inside the temple? Read by Dwayne Case and Wes Nelson.
What do we do in the temple? The temple is the house of the Lord. When we go inside, we feel close to Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. We can feel the Holy Ghost. In the temple, we take part in sacred ordinances like baptism. We also make special promises or covenants with Heavenly Father. We can help give those who have died the chance to accept the gospel. It will be a very special day when you go inside for the first time. Baptismal font. When you turn 12, you can be baptized for the people who've died without being baptized. The font rests on oxen that represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Celestial Room. The Celestial Room is beautiful. It reminds us of how peaceful and happy we will be when we live with Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ someday. Ceiling Room. In rooms like this, families can be sealed together for eternity. This means they can live as a family forever, not just in this life. When you turn 12, you can meet with your bishop to get your own temple recommend. Then you can go to the temple to do baptisms. Ordinance Room. In rooms like this, we learn about Heavenly Father's plan for us, and we make covenants that will allow us to live with Him again. We learn about the creation of the world, about Adam and Eve, and about Jesus Christ. We also learn about the blessings we will receive in the next life if we are faithful. For the temple is a house of God, a place of love and beauty. I'll prepare myself while I am young. This is my sacred duty. I love to see the temple, Children's Songbook, page 95. To see pictures of temples around the world, visit temples.lds.org and click on Gallery. End of the article, What Do We Do in the Temple? Read by Maya Reinwand.
Temple Time by Jane McBride Choate, based on a true story. What's so special about temple work? Kyle wondered. The hearts of the children shall turn to their fathers. Doctrine and Covenants, section 2, verse 2. Kyle sat on his parents' bed and watched Dad take his temple bag out of the closet. Mom and Dad went to the temple every month. Kyle couldn't wait until he turned 12 and could go to the temple with them. Then it could be their special family night. But for now, Kyle got to spend the night at his grandparents' house, and that was pretty great, too. Grandpa and Grandma always did fun things, like watch movies and play board games. Kyle already had his bag packed. Kyle watched as Dad reverently folded a white shirt and placed it in his bag. "Remind me what you're doing at the temple?" he asked Dad. "Well, you know how Grandma has been doing a lot of family history lately? She found out the temple work hasn't been done for some of our ancestors, so we're going to do their temple work tonight." Kyle nodded. He'd helped Grandma figure out how to use the family history website. They'd typed in lots of names and dates and scanned and uploaded a stack of black and white photographs. "What exactly is temple work?" Kyle asked. Mom sat down next to Kyle on the edge of the bed. "Well, you know what covenants are?" Kyle nodded. "Promises with Heavenly Father." "Right. You made a covenant when you were baptized. In the temple, we make more covenants. But some of our relatives didn't have a chance to make those covenants before they died. So we go to the temple to make those covenants and give them a chance to accept them. We call it temple work, but it really doesn't feel like work," Dad said as he zipped up his bag. "It feels like a blessing for us and a blessing for them. Lots of Grandma's relatives still need their temple work to be done." "I wish I could help them," Kyle said. Dad squeezed Kyle's shoulder. You can help them. In fact, you already have. Remember how exciting it was when you helped Grandma put the stories and pictures on the Family History website? Kyle nodded. That had been fun. When you do that, you're helping us get to know our family members better, and we can see who still needs help getting their temple work done. I hope you keep helping Grandma find more pictures and stories, and I really hope you help us keep it organized online. Kyle smiled. He was pretty good at using the computer. Dad picked up his bag. Let's go to the living room and have a prayer before we leave. Then we'll drop you off at Grandma and Grandpa's. Kyle knelt at the sofa. He listened to Mom thank Heavenly Father for the temple and for family history work. Then she prayed for help to learn more about their ancestors so that they could do their temple work. Kyle got a warm feeling as Mom prayed. He decided right then that he would make good choices so that he would be worthy to go to the temple with Mom and Dad when he was old enough. And in the meantime, he could help other members of his family have temple time too.
Sidebar. The covenants we make at baptism and in holy temples connect the family of God on both sides of the veil. Sister Carol M. Stevens, First Counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. The Family is of God. Ensign, May 2015, page 13.
End of the story, Temple Time, narrated by Scott Christopher.
When I grow up, I want to be a stained glass artist. From an interview by Amy Jane Levitt.
My name is Tom Holdman, and I am a stained glass artist.
When did you learn to make stained glass?
In high school, after my mission, I wasn't accepted to a university, so I studied on my own. I read lots of books. I visited Europe to study the stained glass windows of famous cathedrals. I stared at one window in Czechoslovakia for an hour. It was inspiring. I promised myself that someday I would try to make a window that beautiful. Now, I get to make stained glass windows for temples around the world.
How do you get your inspiration?
I fill my mind with great art and music. When I was making stained glass for the Winter Quarters Temple, I listened to the hymn, Come, Come, Ye Saints. Nature also inspires me. When I look up at the rustling leaves of my apricot tree, I get many great ideas.
What advice do you have for someone who wants to be an artist?
Just get some paper and draw. Don't be afraid that it won't look good. I have a motto. There's always more paper. If one picture doesn't turn out, get more paper.
How does your job help you share the gospel?
I was born with a speech impediment, which means I stutter. When I was a child, I was often treated unkindly, but it actually blessed me because I had to find other ways to express myself. Through my art, people can feel my love for the Savior.
End of the interview. When I grow up, I want to be a stained glass artist.
Stained Glass Picture by Sherry Timberman. You can make these beautiful pictures to give as a gift or to hang on your wall. Be sure to get an adult's help. You will need white poster board, masking or painter's tape, acrylic or watercolor paint, foam brushes. Number 1. Place strips of tape randomly across the shiny side of the poster board. Number 2. Paint the spaces between the tape. It's okay to get paint on the tape because you'll take it off when you're done. Try blending different colors with wet paint or paint different colors over dried paint. Number 3. Let the picture dry, then carefully peel off the tape. Stained glass cookies. You can also make these fun cookies. See the Christmas workshop in the December 2009 Friend at friend.lds.org. End of the activity, Stained Glass Picture by Sherry Timberman, read by Shauna Thompson.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's installment of Matt and Mandy, the family is walking the temple grounds. The Coopers like to go to the temple to see the gardens and to talk. Mandy says,
"It's beautiful. I can hardly wait to go inside someday."
With his arm around Matt, Dad says,
"I can show you something great about the temple without even going in. Look over there. What do you notice about those people?"
Matt guesses,
"They all look happy."
Remember how you felt when you bore your testimony last month?
Yeah, I felt happy and peaceful. You said that feeling was the Holy Ghost.
Mom adds,
this temple is Heavenly Father's house. He wants all of his children to come here. And when they do, he blesses them with his spirit.
I think that's why those people are smiling. Don't you?
Mandy excitedly announces,
now I really can't wait until I'm old enough to go to the temple.
End of Matt and Mandy.
Show and tell. We love to see the temple. The largest photo in our home is of the temple. Next are pictures of our family and my parents when they were married in the temple. Someday I want to be married in the temple too, like my mama and papa. Dancel, with Richmond, Margaret, Eliza, and Elaine A., ages 6, 9, 8, 5, and 3. Ozamiz, District, Philippines.
My grandpa is not a member of the church. My mom took him to the temple open house. My grandpa's favorite room was the celestial room. I hope he will join the church soon. I love him. Elizabeth H., age 8, Idaho, USA.
About 120 members and friends of the Valrico Award, Brandon, Florida State, USA, visited the Orlando, Florida temple. Before they went, the Activity Day girls went to the Family History Center to learn how to use Family Search. Dressed in their Sunday best, 48 primary children visited the temple grounds while their parents attended the temple.
While the Ogden, Utah temple was being rebuilt, primary children from the Evanston 6th Ward, Wyoming, USA, used sugar cubes to build a model of the temple. They learned about how families can be together forever. The children are so excited to have the temple open again.
I'm trying to be like Jesus by helping take care of my sister, Kira, who has autism. A lot of kids think she is weird, but I don't think that. When I play with her, I help her go down the water slide and do many other things. I love her so much. I do those things because I know Jesus loves her. That is how I'm trying to be like Jesus. Annika E., age 7, Pennsylvania, USA.
Preston and Jacob C., ages 11 and 9, Michigan, USA, built a model of the Detroit, Michigan temple.
Helping hands, 8,575 hands and counting. I read to my baby sister, Erica J., age 6, New South Wales, Australia.
I surprised Mom by cleaning her bedroom. Asha G., age 6, Netherlands.
Hayden S., age 5, from Washington, USA, said, I helped others when they fell down.
The Bangkok International Award Primary in Thailand sent us a picture of their hands.
I give people hugs when they are sad. Georgian M., age 5, Hawaii, USA.
I play music to make people happy. Zayden M., age 5, Hawaii, USA.
I help my mom tend my nieces by playing with them, helping them clean up and sharing my toys. We have lots of fun. Jeanette D., age 8, Utah, USA.
I helped my mom clean up the kitchen. Silas G., HV, Netherlands.
Other contributors to show and tell. Gavin T., age 10, British Columbia, Canada. Tell us how you've served. See page 48 to send us your helping hand. Find more art online at childart.les.org. We love to see the temple. End of the section, show and tell. We love to see the temple.
For Little Friends, The Temple Grounds by Amanda Hill. The temple grounds are beautiful. My heart feels calm and still. I cannot go inside just yet, but one day soon I will. End of the section for Little Friends, read by Kate Strongen. Finding Tinkerbell by April Clausen, based on a true story. Mia had looked everywhere. Where was Tinkerbell? Mia was sad.
it was time for bed, and she couldn't find her stuffed cat, Tinkerbell. Everybody helped her look, Grandma, Grandpa, Mom, and Dad. No Tinkerbell. They searched all over. They looked under the bed. They looked behind the couch. They even looked under the sink. Still no Tinkerbell.
We're not having much luck, are we?
Mom said.
No,
Mia said with a frown.
I don't know where Tinkerbell is, but there's someone who does know.
Mia's eyes lit up.
Who?
Heavenly Father knows. Should we say a prayer and ask him for help?
Mia nodded and knelt down. Everyone stopped searching and knelt down too.
Heavenly Father, I miss Tinkerbell. Please help us find her. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Mia prayed.
Now we need to listen and think so the Holy Ghost can help us find Tinkerbell.
Dad said. They were all quiet for a little while. Mom looked at Mia.
Where do you think Tinkerbell is?
In the closet.
Everybody checked a closet, but there was still no Tinkerbell. Suddenly, Mom had an idea.
This morning, I put your backpack in the upstairs closet. We didn't check there yet. Maybe Tinkerbell is there.
Mia and Mom ran upstairs to check. They opened the closet. Tinkerbell was in the backpack. Mia gave Tinkerbell a great big hug. Mia and Mom knelt down right there and thanked Heavenly Father. End of the story, Finding Tinkerbell, by April Clausen. Read by Kate Strongen.
Scripture Time. The Parable of the Talents, by Jean Bingham. Learn about the New Testament together this year. Jesus told a story, or parable, about a man who lent some coins to three people who worked for him. Then the man went away. While he was gone, two of the people worked hard and used their coins to earn more coins to give back to the man. But one person just buried his coin because he was afraid of losing it. When the man came back, he gave rewards to those who increased the coins he lent them. But he took the coin away from the person who hadn't tried to increase it. From Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 29. Like the man in the parable, Heavenly Father has given each of us something very valuable. Not coins, but special abilities or talents like singing, showing love, running, or helping others. Like the people in the parable, you have to work hard to make your talents grow. How can you follow Jesus' teachings by using and improving your talents? You will feel happier and help others when you do. The author lives in Utah, USA. Sidebar. Learn more. A talent is a special ability, like a talent for drawing. But in Jesus' time, the word talent meant an amount of money that was of great worth. How are these two types of talents alike? End of the section, Scripture Time, The Parable of the Talents. Read by Scott Christopher.
Family Talent Show. Plan a show to share your talents. 1. Have each family member share something they are good at, like reading aloud, baking a treat, performing a musical number, telling a joke, doing a somersault, or sharing a happy smile. 2. As each person finishes sharing a talent, have the other members of the family tell something good they have noticed about that person. 3. For refreshments, combine each person's favorite fruit to make a yummy fruit salad. Family Talk. Help each family member name at least one talent he or she has. How can you help each other make your talents grow? Talk about how using your talents helps others and shows Heavenly Father your gratitude. Challenge family members to look for each other's talents and share a sincere compliment each day. Song, Give Said the Little Stream, Children's Songbook, page 236. Scripture, Doctrine and Covenants, section 46, verse 11. Video. Go to BibleVideos.org to watch the parable of the talents. Scripture tip. Acting out a scripture story is a fun way to learn more about it. 1. Assign someone to play each part in the story. You can use simple costumes and props like bathrobes and paper coins. 2. Have someone read the story, pausing after each verse so that the players can act out what was just read. 3. Act out the story again so everyone has a turn. Share your talent. Place, day, and time. Bring a piece of fruit to help make refreshments. You can print more invitations at friend.lds.org. End of the section. Family Talent Show. Read by David Shaw.
Article of Faith Number 8. We believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it is translated correctly. We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God. The Bible has the words of prophets who testified of Jesus Christ. When people translated it, they changed or left out some important parts. That's why we believe the Bible is the Word of God, except for any errors or missing parts. The Book of Mormon also contains teachings of the prophets. Joseph Smith translated it with Heavenly Father's help, so nothing was changed or left out. This month's challenges. Memorize Article of Faith Number 8. What does the Book of Mormon say about the Bible? Read Mormon Chapter 7, verses 8 through 10 to find out. Choose a favorite scripture. Write it on a piece of paper and hang it where you can see and read it often. I challenge myself to Articles of Faith in Action.
I decided I wanted to finish the Book of Mormon by myself, so I started reading it. I finally finished about a week ago. I was very happy. My favorite part was 2 Nephi chapter 30, verses 12 to 14, where all of the animals and children will love each other when Jesus comes back. Catherine J., age 6, Utah, USA.
Memorization tip. Article of Faith 8 is about the scriptures, which include the pearl of great price. 8 rhymes with great. Note, go to children.lds.org to play the Articles of Faith memory quest. Click on Games and Activities. End of the section, Article of Faith Number 8. Narrated by Miles McClellan.
Music, Come Follow Me. Music by Samuel McBurney. Text by John Nicholson. End of the section, music. Come, follow me.
For older kids. Not at home, not anywhere. By David Dixon, Church Magazines. Based on a true story. What was the big deal? I will not swear or use crude words. From My Gospel Standards. Carter walked into the kitchen with his friend Devin and opened the fridge. He pulled out two sodas and looked around. Where was Mom? Normally she was home when he got back from school, but her car wasn't in the garage. He handed a soda to Devin.
Thanks,
Devin said.
I'm so mad about the science project. Only 1 week to finish the whole thing.
Carter took a sip.
I know, it's not fair.
The project their teacher had assigned that afternoon was going to take forever. Devin said,
Now we probably can't go on our bike ride on Saturday.
Suddenly, a swear word jumped out of Carter's mouth. He hadn't even thought to say it. Devin looked surprised, but not upset. They'd both started swearing at school during recess a few weeks ago. But they'd never used bad words in their homes before. Then he added a swear word of his own. They laughed. Carter glanced around the empty kitchen. Mom wasn't home, and Dad was still at work. It felt kind of exciting to say that word in his own kitchen. But he also felt uneasy for some reason.
It's messed up,
Devin said.
He should have given us a month.
Totally,
Carter said. He took another drink of his soda. He drank too quickly, and the carbonation burned down his throat.
And you know what else?
This time, Carter strung together a sentence with three swear words in it that made Devin laugh so hard he almost spilled a soda. Carter laughed with him.
What?
Carter felt like a bolt of lightning cut through him as he heard Mom's voice. He turned and saw her standing in the doorway to the garage. He hadn't heard the door open. Mom's face showed how much his words had hurt her. Carter felt awful inside. He wanted to crawl inside a deep, deep hole.
I gotta go.
Devin grabbed his backpack and hurried out the front door.
Carter,
Mom finally said. She wasn't yelling. He almost wished she were. That would be better than the disappointment in her voice.
We'll talk about this later.
She set her bags on the table and walked upstairs. Carter cringed. She was too upset to talk. Carter finished his soda quickly and went out to the backyard. He plopped down on a lawn chair. A few weeks ago, he had decided it wasn't that big a deal to use bad words once in a while, as long as he didn't say them at home or at church. But only a few minutes ago, that swear word had popped out before he'd even thought about it. Carter already knew what he wanted to say to Mom. He wanted to tell her he was sorry and ask for her forgiveness. Swearing wasn't worth it, Carter decided. Not at home and not at school. Not if it made him feel like this. Not if it upset Mom that way. He prayed to Heavenly Father and asked for forgiveness. Carter promised right then and there he was done swearing. Not ever again. He felt a little tug of peace in his heart as soon as he made that choice. That was the Holy Ghost, he realized, telling him he was making the right decision.
Sidebar. One time I auditioned for a play. The director said, The boy in this show swears. Do any of you have a problem with swearing? I didn't want to say those words. I was nervous. But I raised my hand. I didn't get the part, but I was glad I stood up for what I believed. Alex H., age 8, Utah, USA.
End of the story. Not at home. Not anywhere. Narrated by Scott Christopher.
Babysitting Blues by Lindsay Stevens Tanner, based on a true story. I needed Michael and Abby to behave. I needed a plan. Oh, here we are together in our family. Children's Songbook, page 261. My little brother and sister, Michael and Abby, are a handful. You just can't get them to sit still. I should know. I've tried. Mom says I'm old enough to watch them when she goes out for errands. I'm glad Mom thinks I'm responsible, but I'm not sure I want to watch them on my own. Once, when my parents were out front working in the garden, Michael and Abby picked some cattails outside. Cattails are plants with long stems and a hot dog-looking flower on top. When you blow on a cattail, the hot dog part turns into white fluff and it gets everywhere. So guess what Michael and Abby decided to do? They waved the cattails all around the living room and covered all the furniture with fuzz. When I saw what they'd done, I was horrified. I went outside right away to tell Mom and Dad about the mess, hoping I wouldn't get in trouble for it. But they just made Michael and Abby help clean it up. They didn't even really get punished. So today, when Mom went to the store and put me in charge, I was ready. I decided that in order to watch Michael and Abby, I would need to get them to behave, and I knew just the way to do it. "Who wants to play a game?" I asked. They jumped up and down.
"Ooh, me!"
It's a game I just invented. It's called Baby Caterpillar. Do you want to pretend to be baby caterpillars?
"Yes!"
Michael yelled.
"Yay!"
Abby shouted. I grinned. My brother and sister can never quietly agree to anything. "To play this game, I need both of you to get a blanket," I said. They both ran to their bedrooms as fast as they could and brought back two blankets. "Okay, now just watch." They stood quietly and watched, which was a first for them. First, I laid down both blankets and had Abby lie right in the middle of one and Michael in the middle of the other. Then I wrapped them each in a blanket cocoon up to their chins. "Ta-da," I said. "You are now baby caterpillars."
"Yay!"
They wiggled around for a bit, and after a while, they started talking to each other in their caterpillar language. Their smiling faces peeked over their blankets. I sat on the couch with a good book while they chattered to each other. When I looked at my brother and sister, nestled in their little cocoons, I realized they weren't so bad after all. In fact, now that I was spending time with them, I kind of liked them. I thought about how much fun we could have playing a board game together after they were done being baby caterpillars. I put my book down and started to think of other games we could all play the next time Mom left me in charge.
Babysitting tips. Sometimes it's hard to babysit younger brothers and sisters. Here are a few tips to make the job easier. Number 1. Split the time into different activities. You could color, play board games, eat a snack, play outdoor games, and help with homework. Number 2. Always have backup activities. When you have more activities ready, you can make sure your siblings are busy doing something good. Number 3. Choose to serve your siblings. You will learn to love them more. Help them with a subject they're struggling with in school, or help them clean their rooms.
End of the story, Babysitting Blues. Narrated by Eden Reinwand.
P.S. We hope you enjoyed this month's magazine. Please write to tell us what you liked. How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or photograph, 1. Fill out the form below and include it with your submission. 2. Include a school photo or high-quality snapshot. 3. We might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. 4. You must be at least 3 years old to send us a submission. The entry form is as follows. Please send your submission to Friend Magazine, 50 East North Temple Street, room 2432, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-0024, or email friend@ldschurch.org. The following information and permission must be included. Print your first and last name. Give your age. Tell whether you're a boy or a girl, and give your state, province, and country. Then the following permission. I give my permission to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to use my child's submission and photo on the church websites and social media platforms, as well as for church reports, print products, video, publications, and training materials. Then have the signature of your parent or legal guardian and email a parent or legal guardian given also. Visit friend.lds.org. Play games and watch videos. Read the friend online. Through your eyes.
I love all of the beautiful creations that Heavenly Father and Jesus have given us. This flower reminds me that each one is beautiful and unique in its own way, like each of us. Tessa S., age 10, Virginia, USA.
And now, the last laugh. In this month's last laugh, a young girl is sitting in a tree fort built like a pirate ship, painted like a rainbow. With a pink paintbrush in her hand, she says to her brothers, who look on with astonishment,
"Remember, Dad said you got to pick the design for our fort, but I get to pick the color."
End of the section, P.S.
Dear parents and teachers, July 24th is a day when we remember the early saints who traveled to Utah as pioneers. On page 16, you'll find a matching activity about where some of these brave families came from. We can help children understand that while not everyone has ancestors who traveled in hand carts, all of us can be grateful for the courage of converts. Who are the pioneers in your family? Let's share their stories. Happy Pioneer Day, the friend. You can order the friend at store.lds.org. Family Home Evening Ideas, Sabbath Day. Read Rowdy to Reverent, page 4. How can your family make the Sabbath a delightful holy day? Use your ideas to make a Sunday box, page 6. Talents. Read the Parable of the Talents on page 40. Then use the Family Talk ideas on page 41. Help each family member identify at least one talent he or she has. How can you help each other develop talents? Plan a family talent show. Articles of Faith. Read about the 8th Article of Faith, page 42. Pick a challenge from the challenge card to do as a family. You can test your Articles of Faith knowledge with a memory game on children.lds.org. Temples. Read Temple Time on page 26. Can your family create a family temple night? Talk about what happens in temples, page 24. And make a stained glass pitcher and cookies, page 30. Check out the other temple content in this issue on pages 21 through 37. You can also watch a video about temples on friend.lds.org. Primary connection. Look for the colored diamonds on the table of contents to find stories and activities that support primary this month. Find more teaching resources at lessonhelps.lds.org. Topics in this issue. Agency, pages 7, 8, and 44. Family, pages 8, 26, 44, and 46. Family history, pages 20 and 26. Fasting, page 11. Friendship, pages 4 and 14. Holy Ghost, pages 23, 38, and 44. Humility, pages 8 and 44. Jesus Christ, pages 2, 22, and 43. Patience, pages 11, 14, and 46. Pioneers, pages 16 and 18. Prayer, pages 8, 11, 14, 23, 26, and page 38. Repentance, page 44. Reverence, pages 4, 6, and 22. Scriptures, pages 40 and 42. Ceilings, pages 15, 24, and 26. Service, pages 12, 40, and 46. Swearing, page 44. Talents, pages 28, 32, and page 40. Temples, pages 21 through 37. And testimony, pages 2 and page 31. End of the section, Dear Parents and Teachers. Read by David Shaw.